Welcome one and all once again to Dual Roads in episode 114. This will be our big post E3 spectacular blowout extraordinaire.
Woo!
That was Nintendo and the Ashia wrong E3. join us this week, we have Jason.
Hey yo. Fresh from the LA Convention Center.
Yes, so who you will be giving us most of the E3 impression? We have Phil.
Hey, we live in a post-E3 world now. Also, I had to stop playing The Last of Us for this.
I'm sorry. and we have Daniel.
Hello. I'm playing Monster Hunter, which is a thing that I thought I would never say.
Which is a thing I guess you can kick it off with you, since you have a new system.
So, yeah, I bought a 3DS because it was cheap, and I was never going to get a 3DS that cheap ever.
Did you have the XL?
Yeah, I haven't. I wasn't going to get a normal one. It was basically an XL or bust.
Good move. Yeah.
And I don't know if I can't say this about anything else on this planet, but it's just such a delight to use. Like, sometimes the interface isn't very functional, but it's Nintendo. And like when you load up the eShop and you see the little bag with a face on it run around and stuff. Oh my god, I love that.
Yeah, they have all these awesome, like, nice little charms for everything that they do. It's pretty great.
And I bought, like, a couple of games in eShop. I bought the 3D Classics Kirby, and I bought Wario Land 3 because right now I'm in a situation where there's no point in me buying anything, and I'm a bit low on money as well. And then somebody gave me Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate because there's, like, a program where if you buy it, you get a code, and you can give it to somebody else who buys a 3DS. So, I'm playing that, and I always assumed that Monster Hunter was a thing that, like, this, like, insurmountable wall that I could never penetrate, and I would, like, and I never really got, but, I don't know, I'm kind of liking it. Like, the game's very obtuse when it doesn't need to be at times. Like I was saying on Twitter, apparently a golden fish is different to a small golden fish, so I can't submit two small golden fish and one normal golden fish for a quest where you have to collect three golden fish, which is really annoying. And I had to figure out myself how to make the bait for the golden fish because the game wouldn't tell me. But otherwise, I don't know, there's something strangely addictive about it.
I think he just kind of nailed it. I think from what I've heard, a lot of people kind of appreciate that kind of going out on quests. Crafting items, you know, getting new armor, going out. Because it's not a traditional RPG. You don't level up in that sense, but you kind of level up by getting new and better equipment, going on hunts and killing the same monsters, so make sure you get, like, all the pieces of the armor set so that your character's better, trying out, like, what is your weapon of choice?
I've only, like, used a couple of weapons. You start off with a sword and a shield. And then I decided to get the two sort of short sword things. They were kind of cool. And right now I'm using the massive Buster Sword type swords that you have to proper slam into the ground to hit things with. One thing that kind of annoys me is it's not a case of you press the attack button and then if you keep pressing the attack button and you change directions, it will change direction. You have to sort of stop attacking, then change your direction,
and
then
that's
start
one of the
attacking
things,
again.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I think people have issues with running the game, is that it's an action game, but you have to know your weapons and its hit animation.
Yeah.
And if they're mid-swing, you can't do that out and, like, roll if an enemy's charging at you.
Yeah, but
do you use a guide or anything like that, or are you
If I get stuck, I type something into Google. That's how it works.
Right. Are you playing this on your own? Because I know the 3DS doesn't have online in their version.
Yes, I'm playing it on my own, because the only person I know that has a 3DS doesn't have the game. So
the 3DS doesn't have online?
No, unless you have a Wii U, and then you have to route the online through your Wii U, which is really
stupid.
Oh, that
is so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like how you had to go online with the PSP, and you had to do, like, the ad hoc.
Yes. For some reason, Monster Hunter wasn't a franchise that embraced on... Because Japan, it's a Japanese-centric franchise, and Japan's kind of more... From what I've understood, it's a bit more communal, so...
They gather in parks, and they play that thing.
Yeah, and people played on the trains and stuff like that, so it always worked there. But when they brought it over to the West, they started doing it on the console version. So, like, the Wii version has online, and the Wii U version has online. But they didn't implement it in the 3DS version. And I guess one of the reasons they did that was so that people would buy both versions, because you kind of have that crossplay where you can upload your character from the 3DS version to the Wii U version and vice versa. But I know Monster Hunter 4 has online for the 3DS version, so there's that.
I might pick that up now that I've actually started playing, and I kind of get Monster. I wouldn't say I totally get it, but I kind of get it now. And I'll tell you what, the game looks surprisingly good. I guess, like, I'm just used to handhelds having really bad graphics, but Monster Hunter 3 looks really good.
Capcom has gotten a lot of magic out of the 3DS. I think Resident Evil Revolution looks amazing as well on that handheld. So yeah. Anything else about your new toy?
I can't wait until Ace Attorney 5 comes out now. That's what I'm waiting for.
And question, because I don't know how to, because Europe has several promotions for the 3DS running right now. How does the Too Many Games work?
The Too Many Games work, so if you buy, hang on, let me quit out, because there's a specific buy. It's basically like, you know, Summer of Arcade, where they say if you buy three of the games, you get the last one for free, you'll get 800 points for free. That's basically how it works.
Okay, I was going to ask, I know Monster Hunter is part of the promotion, but does your copy count, or does it not count because you got it from somebody who runs that other promotion?
I don't think it counts, because the way the Monster Hunter promotion works is somebody who buys Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate gets a recommendation code, and then somebody has to buy a 3DS within a specific time period, and obviously I landed it in that time period. I think the time period runs out the end of this month. And then you give them this recommendation code. You have to put that into Club Nintendo, and then Club Nintendo gives you a download code for the eShop.
Okay. Well, I mean, Club Nintendo is able to register your eShop purchases, which is
well, not in my case, because I can't get it to link to my account.
Because
I typed my username and password in correctly, and it just says they're incorrect.
Well, you should check the website.
I asked Nintendo, I asked support, and they were just like, oh, you have to wait a couple of days, and I did, and it still doesn't work, so I have to email them back.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, glad that you're enjoying it. Okay, so, Phil.
The only other thing I have to say is the eShop seems a bit barren.
I don't think it's barren. I think they...
I think it's pretty great. Like,
I think they just have a terrible sense of organization for that
thing. Oh, dude, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
I guess...
They have, like, a million categories, like, bestsellers and here's... Yeah, it's weird. Weird how they do that. But, I think there's a bunch of games on there.
Which is really funny because, I mean, granted, it probably has less content, but the Wii U eShop is organized really well.
Yeah, there's so many games promotion. The games that are included are... So if you buy one of these games, buy three of these games, you get one of them for free. It's Monster Hunter 3, Luigi's Mansion 2, Fire Emblem, Donkey Kong Country Returns, Animal Crossing, Castlevania, Lego City Undercover, and Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. So you could technically buy Luigi's Mansion, Fire Emblem, and Donkey Kong, for example, and get Animal Crossing for nothing, which is a very good deal.
Which is what a lot of people did, because
yeah.
Animal Crossing is one of those games that you want to have on your system, because it's just more convenient than carrying it around. It's one of those games that people check daily. I don't get the appeal of Animal Crossing, but that's a subject for another day.
The only kind of bummer is, like, I've had this thing, a week? And not even that. And I have to buy a new SD card already, because Monster Hunter uses half of what you get with the
Holy
system.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Oh, the SD card runs up fast, which is why I eventually had... I think I got a good 16 or 32 gigs, and hopefully that takes me a while. Another thing, and I guess Jason could speak on this too, because he got screwed over this week. What do you think of, like, the Street Pass stuff?
I haven't run into anybody. So, I mean, I've gotten the E3 Spot Pass Miis, and I've used them to go through RPG.
Find Me.
No, the RPG, the Spot Pass RPG thing.
Yeah, it's called Find Me, isn't it?
No, it's not on here.
Oh. Do you folks have one of those funny British terms
there's
for it?
There's Puzzle Swap, which is the where you get puzzle pieces. And there's also, when it loads...
Do-do. Do, do,
Yeah, I have to say that the Club Nintendo is
Oh, Street Pass Quest.
Yeah, Street Pass Quest, that's it. Yeah, so, I mean, what I've done is I've just taken my 3DS with me and got Play Coins and just basically bought Heroes for that.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to going to E3 with my 3DS this year, because I've heard about conventions being a haven for Street Pass stuff, and I just turned mine on to see what I got, and turns out my friend was playing with my 3DS before I went to the convention, and apparently he accidentally turned off the wireless, so I got
cool.
Yes, that sucks, because if there's one case you were going to get it out of Street Pass.
Yeah. I saw so many 3DSs there.
It's
not
kind of
fair.
It's funny, I went to Nintendo World Store to check out their E3 demos, and I got something like 35 Street Passes in like the 45 minutes I was there.
Nice.
I'm like, I should go there more often.
Yeah. Well, we also got like a million Nintendo employees come to us. So,
I think almost everybody, I know Shiggy,
Iwata. Yeah, that's right. The dude who works on Zelda with the beard and the gray hair.
Anuma.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, there was a bunch. They've done a great job with it. We can't really say that about their entire E3 presence, but that was a good job. So I guess before we get to E3, we're going to hear from Phil and his super depressing game.
I'm playing The Last of very briefly, because I didn't touch on this last week, and now I'm finished the game, and the game's going to go by. I just want to say that I played and completed Remember Me, and I think that game is fantastic. Don't believe the lies. That game is doing some great things, and I love it. Anyway, what I love more than Remember Me, though, is The Last of Us. And Jason, are you playing The Last of Us as well?
I have played the first couple hours or so.
Oh, okay. I believe Martin is also playing it. I was going to say, like, if three or more of us are playing The Last of Us, we should totally do a spoiler cast, because there's so much going on in it. The game is fantastic. I'm blown away. I have no concept of how far I am in the game, like, at all, because I don't know how the game is going to end, or close to end, so I can't say how far I am in it, but I've played it for quite a while, and it is it's astounding. It builds tension very well. It is so different from Uncharted, just like how the character moves, how brutal every battle that you're in takes place. Like, when you're battling other humans, it is such a You feel the shots when you're shooting other people and when it's coming at you, and then when you're fighting the infected, it's a whole different dynamic to battles as well. And it kind of does. I feel like this game does better what a lot of other games tried to do. Like, it does stealth better than Metal Gear Solid. It does.
That's a huge claim.
Yeah, I know. It does horror better than the past couple of Resident Evils.
Surprising.
Yeah. And The Last Silent Hill had this open world concept. I don't know if anybody's played The Last Silent Hill. I forget what it's called. Not Homecoming, but
Downpour.
It tried to do this open world sort of thing. And The Last of Us, when you get into like these town areas, it expands so much, and you're able to like go into so many houses, and it also looks gorgeous, and they had to render all the, like, it is an amazing game. More amazing than I thought was possible. But, so, yeah, I don't know, like, it wins over Bioshock Infinite for me so far. I don't know if there's anything more that you want to know about the game, but it's really good. Really good.
Okay. And they fixed that really random save bug, right?
Yeah. I never encountered it, thank God. But they seem to have fixed it pretty quickly. So.
Okay, so yeah, that's it. Has anybody else been playing anything new recently?
Well, I've been playing lots of new stuff.
Well, I meant before we got to your E3. I guess really quickly then, I will mention that I've been playing Mass Effect 3 because I got it for all of 350. All
right.
For the first time, or?
First time.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really... I still don't even remember why I was boycotting this game at this point. I think it was because they had the... It was like the extra content they had in the limited edition that they didn't tell people until like 2 weeks before launch. Or whatever. But I finally got
it's
around
the day one DLC stuff.
Yeah. But I figured I found a price that was too good to pass up. And I mean, Mass Effect to me, I've enjoyed the franchise, but I feel like it gets a lot more love than I find in it. Like, right now, I guess I'm just kind of, it's always the same, it's the same thing I have with Mass Effect 2, but it's a story, it's an overarching story, but for the most part, it just kind of goes away while you do these side quests, and it's just always kind of like, it doesn't move, which I always find weird. I get it, but it's weird to take this huge threat of the Reapers, and the story just doesn't progress until you decide to progress it. It's like, oh yeah, the Reapers are coming, but I'm just going to spend 15 hours doing something else until they decide to advance the story with another key mission. And again, this could be the 360 version. I hate the swap, and I think I've had to do it something like 4 times so far. Maybe
really?
I just don't. Yeah, I mean, I've heard that it's not... a lot of this stuff ended up being on the disc too, which I find weird.
That happened to me as well. I had to swap it out like a ton, and I thought that was really stupid.
I don't remember doing that, but I don't know.
I mean, it's a minor thing. I'm not going to say it's a game break. It was just weird because I remember the first 5 missions, I had to swipe the disc 3 times. And there's like no indication on the screen whether something's on disc 1 or disc 2 or it's a side quest or a main quest. So it's like you kind of pick your characters, you load up, and then it's like, it has the loading screen and it's like, insert disc 2 or insert disc 1. I'm like, why didn't you tell me this ahead of time? I would have picked the mission on this disc and continued that way. Grant, again, not a deal breaker, but yeah. And so far I dislike the fact that a lot of my characters, the ones that I've grown to like in Mass Effect 1 and 2, I have Rose in this game, but they aren't on your team. Like, so far, I think the only person who has come back to my team is Yara.
Yeah, that was thing I didn't like that much, and it takes a while to build up the team, too. And it's a smaller roster than you have in Mass Effect 2, which is a great one. So.
That was like 12 people, right? Or am I overcounting?
I think it was 10.
Something like that. But so far, I've only had 4 people, and it's been the same 4 people for quite some time now.
Yeah, yeah. I think it goes up to 6.
Oh, wow.
So.
Okay. And because of Jason, I've been avoiding using the one new character because he says Edie sucks. So
she's horrible. She should not be in that game.
It's just me alternating between Vega, Garrus, and Yara.
I never cared who I brought into missions. Like,
it doesn't really matter because most of them end up being dumb.
I never spec my additional characters. I always have that on automatic. So I would always just be like, who do I think would be interesting to bring on this planet with me in terms of story?
Do you don't control their abilities in combat, or?
Not really.
Okay.
I usually
manage that stuff.
I try to manage it if like there's like an enemy far away and I know Yara has like the black hole thing, and I'm like, okay, that would help, and then I can get in there and use my weapons or something. But other than that, I just leave them to do their own thing until they decide that they want to run into people and pass out and have to go save them. But yeah, it's a fun game. Still not a great shooter, which they keep trying to push. I don't get the Reapers as enemies so far, because, I mean, basically you fight the Husk, which are just really, they're like zombies, and they're really terrible enemies because they just run at you. And I think the giant beast type deal, which is kind of cool, until that one mission where you get 5 of them at once, that wasn't fun.
Do you know what happens at the end?
I know that people are upset with the ending, and I have an idea of why, but, you know, hopefully, I mean, I'm playing the year after the new ending, so hopefully
So you've avoided it? Like, you have no idea?
I have an idea of what happens. I don't know the specifics. I'm really good at either avoiding spoilers or just not paying attention to what other people say.
Trust me.
So yeah.
Well, people rarely go into specifics when criticizing the ending too.
No,
they
people
just
don't
talk
go
about into colors and stuff.
Yeah, but people. Yeah. I mean, I have some idea of what why people are upset, especially with the fate of the main character. I kind of have an idea of what happens there, but I don't know what leads up to it. and I don't know like what triggers it. I just kind of know like you get a choice and you pick these three cards and all the end they're pretty much the same and you can't. You know, it's basically like I just lost Morden.
Oh yeah, that's the most tragic part of that entire game. Yeah.
And I'm just thinking like he's one of my favorite characters, and I don't like there, as far as I know, I assume there's no way to save him in that scene. I'm just like, ah.
Yeah. I don't think you'll be as disappointed with the ending as everybody else. Like, I also played it a little bit later than when everybody else played it, and then I was going into it being like, oh man, how is it going to fuck this up? And then I was like, okay, like, I see why people are angry, but this is, like, I'm kind of into it.
So, yeah, I mean, but for me it was more, what I was upset with the ending was more how it was written than what happened or didn't happen.
I'll say that, yes, I agree with the choice that you have to make, which is the choice to end all choices, but everything leading up to the end, like that whole final stretch, is amazing to me. Like, what happened?
Yeah, wouldn't agree, but that's, you know, we'll have to talk about that sometime when Earl finishes.
All I can say is poor Marauder Shields.
I don't even know what that means.
I'm not sure I know what that means either.
Yeah.
It's like the last enemy you face, and he just pops out of nowhere. Poor Marauder Shields.
But yeah, no, that's Mass Effect 3. I'll finish it hopefully sometime this week. Anyhow, that brings us to E3.
Before we do that, I just want to say that in The Last of Us, Joel comments on, you know how you find notes in games, and then you read it as the player? But it never seems to be relevant to any, like, the character in the game. Joel actually, like, will comment on it after you're done reading, and he'll just be like, well, that sucks for that guy, or something like that. And I thought that's really cool, because I find that's a big problem for me with in Resident Evil and Silent Hill, where, like, the note that you read displays a plot point that the character should be excited about or needs to know, but then they have no idea. So...
Okay, I can see that. And I will say, and this is one of the things I've always said about the Uncharted games, is I love a game that can find a way to tell a story within the game. Like, Drake always commenting on his environment and his situation has always been one of his most charming. And, you know, that's another thing that adds to it, where it's like, oh, that kind of sucks for these characters. So that's a nice little touch. If I ever get around to playing that game, hopefully it works as well as you say.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in the game. Like, you know, you can go to... like other areas, there's a lot of branching out areas in that game, and they'll always comment on like things that you see, and yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay, so now we can talk about E3.
Yep.
Okay, so that brings up Jason.
E3. I don't know, where do I begin? There was lots of bright lights, lots of big booths and loud music, lots of people, not that many booth babes. But, yeah, I don't know. So it was my first E3. Obviously...
Did you see Jessica Nigri? Or whatever her name is pronounced? Nigri?
No, I don't know that I know who that is, actually. It sounds familiar, but... The only people I recognized I saw were... I saw Jeff Keighley right when I got to the convention center. No sunglasses, though.
Good, you look really stupid with them on.
I saw Michael Pachter when I was at the Destiny booth, and I saw Andy McNamara, who's like the editor-in-chief for Game Informer, roaming around Ubisoft. So those are only three guys. But
I just want to start at the end real quick. Well, how did you feel? Because you're already there for a day, right?
Right.
How did you feel at the end? Because then if I go to conventions, I am dead.
Oh, yeah. By the end, I was just like... Because I had about an hour left, and I was, like, trying to figure out what I wanted to do, like, what I wanted to see, and I was just walking around looking at all the lines, and just, like, I'd been on my feet all day, I was carrying my laptop, so, like, my shoulders were tired, and I was just like, okay, I think I'm ready to go home now.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I am. Like, I think, okay, there's, like, 2 hours left in this convention, I can do something for the day, or I can just go home and get ready for the next day, because usually they're, like, 3 or 4 day events, and by the time that final day is, you're dead.
Yeah.
How long do you need to, like, wait in line to play a game? Is it upwards of hours?
It completely depends on the game. Like, some because I was just able to walk up and play it right away. Rise, I waited like 20, 25 minutes. Destiny, I waited over 2 hours and didn't even get to play it. Which,
that's really crummy. I saw a video of, like, one of the behind-the-scenes demos, and even the banter was the same. I'm like, come on, guys, yeah. You could have at least changed it a little bit.
It was literally the Sony press conference demo, except I had to wait two hours instead of... No, for,
Destiny.
The Rise was also the press conference demo, but I actually got to play it, so that was cool.
I hear the button prompts just play out as normal, even if you don't do them directly or at all.
Yeah, well, okay, let's start with Rise then. That was one of the first games I played. The button prompts, I mean, clearly this was just... The demo came off to me as really structured... For E3, you know, it was to show the power of the Xbox One. I mean, you couldn't die. Like, I kept getting hit a lot, and I had no health bar or anything. The QTEs that were in there, like, you couldn't fail. Like, I was intentionally pressing the wrong button to see what would happen, and it would just keep going.
How did it look?
It looked amazing. Like, it definitely shows... the power of the Xbox One, or like the next generation in general. Like, it was one of the more visually impressive games I saw. There's just a lot going on. The detail's incredible. Like, little things like smoke and fire and reflections off the armor and the way blood splatters when you slice through. Like, it just, everything is just hyper, hyper, hyper detailed and just looks great. What else? I was impressed by the combat. Because in the demo, it kind of just seemed like, oh, you hit a guy once and then triggers a QTE, and then it was a little mashy. But playing the demo, it was actually more involved. It reminded me most of Arkham Asylum, actually, or Arkham City.
Can you not push the button that it tells you to push and just keep on attacking without the QTE happening?
No, but you can... You have to trigger the QTEs to happen. So the QTEs are an execution, and when you weaken an enemy enough, you press the B button, and it triggers an execution. So if you don't press the B button, you can just attack until they're dead.
Okay, yeah.
And how the controls work out, like, B is for execution, X was just standard attack, Y was like a shield bash, and A was like a counter move. So you had to watch... It was very similar to the Arkham games where, you know, when an enemy is attacking, then you press the counter button and Marcus, who's the main character, will do, like, a counter and hit them. The difference is in Arkham, it's kind of like Arkham on hard or on New Game Plus or wherever, where they take out the visual cue over the enemy's head. You literally have to watch for the upswing of their axe or sword or whatever and time it that way.
And you play this on the Xbox One, correct?
Yeah, it's an Xbox One exclusive.
Oh, okay. How's the controller?
The controller is awesome. Like, it feels great. The sticks just feel amazing. Like, they're kind of, they feel, I don't know, less cheap. Like, they're reinforced on the sides. It's got kind of it kind of cones down into the middle instead of just relying on rubber, which wears out over time. The triggers? Buttons are a little flatter. The triggers feel great. They're shaped a little different, but they function identically the same. You know, the bumpers click.
Did you get to try any of the rumble triggers?
No, I didn't, and I wanted to play Forza, because apparently Forza sells the rumble triggers really well, but I didn't get a chance. In Rise, the triggers actually didn't do anything, so in the demo. So yeah, I just kind of messed around with the controller a little bit. It felt really good. Feels really nice in your hands, really smooth plastic. I mean, just the D-pad, obviously, you can tell from looking at it, is just miles and miles and miles better. Like, it feels great. I think it's definitely going to be the new standard for controllers. I've used the DualShock 4 also, which is also a really good controller. I think the Xbox One still I would prefer, but the DualShock 4 is a huge improvement over the DualShock 3.
I was curious as well, and I don't know if this was really shown, but like, how does Kinect work in the a convention center space?
So Riders was the only Xbox One game I played, and the demo didn't have any Kinect functionality.
Well, not Kinect functionality, but doesn't the Kinect camera have to see you, or does it just...
No.
Okay,
because
I was...
It just has to be plugged in.
Okay.
The demo station, I'm like right standing in front of the TV. There's the Xbox One, which actually isn't as big as it looks in pictures.
It's not tiny.
It's not tiny, but it's definitely bigger than the fat PS3. The shapes are different. Like, maybe it's bigger because it's rectangular. But, like, for example, it's definitely smaller than the original Xbox. It's a little bit bigger than the 360. But it looks good. I thought it looked good even in pictures. It looks great in person too. With the glossy always comes off better in person when there's no fingerprints all over it. But the Kinect though is humongous. It's humongous. Like, seeing that thing in person, I was just like, holy cow, this has to go in front of like TVs and stuff.
On top of it.
Like, I can see it being taller. You know, like when you have a TV and it's sitting on a, you know, a TV stand. Like, some TVs these days aren't, like, the screen isn't that high up from the base. And I could see that potentially being an issue for some people where it might cut off a little bit of the bottom of the screen. Like, it's a pretty sizable unit. And on the other end, the PlayStation camera was just tiny. Like, I'm trying to think of a good size comparison. It's kind of like a roll of Starburst. That's how big it was. But, so the Kinect I didn't get to actually use. I imagine it doesn't demo well unless you have a closed-door demo because there's so much noise and so many people and stuff.
Well, in my experience from convention centers where I've gone to do Kinect kind of gets, like, its own little space. Like,
yeah.
And it usually has, like, a empty backdrop behind it so that there's nobody walking behind you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was just curious
A little princess that Kinect is.
I was curious because I was reading that you need like 5 feet if you have Kinect in your home. So I didn't know if that the Kinect actually had to see you while you're playing the game, or if it just had to be on. Because E3 isn't really the greatest place to do that. There's not a lot of space for that.
Yeah, I imagine it's going to depend on the game. Clearly the system can function with it not or just being on, or, you know, it doesn't have to actively be watching you unless the game wants it to, or whatever.
Okay,
but,
just jumping ahead a bit, because
yeah.
I am curious. You said you hated the Wonderful 101. Now you must explain this.
You can't hate a platform game. It's impossible.
Well, it's funny because...
I didn't like Revengeance, so...
Oh, but. Man, I loved Revengeance. I had a lot of issues, but anyway, I digress. It's funny you mentioned Platinum, because I was watching someone play Bayonetta 2, which, that game looks freaking awesome and just gorgeous. Like, you want a Wii U graphical showcase, that is one of the games. Like, it looks great. It's a Wii U, so it looks like, you know, you can put it up to the best of any, you know, PS3 360 game, and it's just as good or, like, a thumbnail better. And there's obviously Bayonetta, so there's all this crazy stuff going on. Like, she was riding a train, and it was crashing through a thing while she's fighting a boss, and her hair's going crazy. And anyway, so I went from there to Wonderful 101, which was right next to it. And I was just watching for a while, just trying to make some sense of what was going on, because there's four people playing the demo, and apparently it goes up to 5-player. But there's four people playing, and there's just, like, madness on screen. Like, and I didn't know what was going on, and one of the guys left, so he handed me the controller, so I jumped in. So granted, it was in the middle of the demo, but, you know, they paused and explained to me the controls really quick, and it's basically, you know, you collect a bunch of little followers, and then, like, every guy has their own followers, and then you use the right... I was playing on a pro controller, and then there was one guy in a keypad. Huh?
I was going to say, I didn't know, it makes sense. I was going to say, I didn't know it supported the pro controller, but if you have 5 players, it has to support something.
Yeah, so I get the sense that, like, I don't think you can play with a Wiimote and Nunchuck, but I could be wrong. Their setup was a gamepad and 4 pro controllers, and like I said, we only had 3 pro controllers in use. So we weren't even maxed out on players, but it's just so hard to make any sense of what the hell is going on.
Yeah, that seems to be the popular opinion, that there's too much chaos on screen.
Yeah, in my, like, I used, like, it's a clusterfuck. Like, it's just a mess. Like, it's, you pick your attacks by using the right stick, and you create little motions, kind of like, oh man, what's that?
I forget what game.
Yeah, kind of like Okami, where you have to, like, you draw out a thing. So you do you draw a shape, like you do an S or a circle, or, you know, there's a bunch of different ones, but and it'll equip you with different things. But, like, even that, it's hard to tell what you have equipped, because there's so much stuff on screen, which I guess that's, you know, technically impressive in a way, except the graphic style was super bland. And
is that game just fighting, or is it, like, gathering and...
It's
like,
mostly fighting.
It's mostly fighting. There was a phase where I was gathering followers, but all that consisted of was like holding down the Y button and moving the stick around so it collected people. Like it was what, and then you know there was little boss fights mixed in. But I literally like we died at one point and had to restart the boss fight, and it was like we couldn't even tell who died or any. Like it was just a mess. And then I picked up this drill attachment, which is like an item they had in the level. And from then on, like, the boss was just easy. Like, I just kept mashing the A button, not even knowing what I was doing. And 5 seconds later, the boss was dead. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, just totally unbalanced.
Yeah,
it was a mess. Like, I couldn't comprehend what was happening. Like, it was just, I don't know where the fun is.
I had thought it was like Little King's Story, where you're exploring and you're doing a bunch of stuff, gathering your abilities. But it seems like it's more just like on the combat side. I also hear it's really short, but...
Well, I think it probably will be. It's a Platinum game. Their games don't tend to be that long. But I believe that was just a mix-up on what Kamiya was saying on Twitter and what people interpreted to mean. But, yeah.
This was a demo, so, like, maybe there is more exploration in the real game. I'm not sure. I haven't really been following the Wonderful 101, but playing it, I'm just completely turned off. But from the combat.
It sounds like it's one of those games that doesn't demo well, maybe. Because I had a ton of fun with it when I played it last year.
I feel that way with a lot of demos, actually. Because a lot of demos have this awful habit of putting you in the game without any context, and then that makes you think less of the game as a whole. Whereas, like, a lot of games that, you know, I play demo on PSN, for instance, I'm like, oh man, this game's shitty. But when I play the real game, I'm like, no, this is not shitty at all. Just the demo was shitty. So.
Yeah, I was just curious because I've gotten a chance to check it out twice now, actually. And it's pretty much a Platinum action game. It's a bit over the top and zany, but it does work, and I enjoyed it for that. But I'm curious to see. Maybe it doesn't demo well. Maybe it is the co-op. Maybe it just wasn't. Maybe it's something that I wanted to. Like, I was just curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So I don't know.
So, yeah.
Okay. While we're on the Wii U, though, one of the most graphically impressive games I saw, and I kid you
Mario
not,
Kart 7?
Mario Kart 8.
Or 8. Yeah.
Just. I mean, I was sitting, I didn't play it, but I was, you know, standing behind some people who were just watching, and I was just like, man, this game looks really good. Like, it kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the Mario Kart, like, arcade Grand Prix or whatever in arcades.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of looks like that, but a lot better. Like, it just pops so much in HD, and I don't know, like, it looks just awesome.
Well, I mean, to jump in on that, I actually did get a chance to play this out at Nintendo World Store. And, I mean, graphics are nice or whatever. I've never really been one of those people. But I thought when they were doing the whole anti-grav thing, I thought that was just one of those, oh, this is like the bikes in Mario Kart Wii. Like, it's cool, but what does it add? And then I played, like, the first stage is kind of like the first stage you'll see in Mario Kart, the very basic one. And then it just gets more and more zany, like, you're driving on walls and stuff like that. And it's not like you're driving on walls and it's an alternate path. There are stages where there's, like, a side path where you're driving on walls, there's still a ground path, and then you can get shortcuts that way and stuff like that. And then the final stage I played was like a Boom Mansion stage, and there's parts where like you're diving into water and stuff, and it's, you know, it's one of those anti-gravity things where you're not actually, like, it looks like you're swimming into nothing, but you're actually swimming upside down and going into the water and driving on the roof of the pool or whatever. And then when you come out, there's two paths to come out, and depending on how you come out, like, you're oriented to where the ground was originally, and then you go to normal gravity. So, like, one path, you come out, and you're angled 90 degrees because you're driving on the wall. So when you come out, part of it is trying to navigate yourself back to a perpendicular with the ground before you land and stuff like that with the kite. And I'm like, this is kind of awesome. I can't wait to see what they do with the Evo design using this technology, this, you know, this gimmick, because I can imagine what Rainbow Road's going to be.
Oh, man, yeah.
When you have anti-gravity, yeah. The other thing that the anti-gravity does, which is a minor thing, but again, it's something they can probably run with as far as strategy goes, is in anti-gravity, when you run into somebody, you both spin out because you're whatever. But yeah, you both spin out instead of the person you hit spinning out. So that's one thing you probably want to try to avoid or want to use it as a strategy if you know the other person probably won't recover as well. What I dislike about the anti-gravity, and it's more of a nitpick, is that the items fit anyhow, so like you don't throw a shell and it falls down because you're upside down or anything, it just continues on the path anyhow. And same thing with bananas. But yeah, really clean looking game, but really, really digging what they're doing to anti-gravity. And I also like that they're bringing back gimmicks, because we saw the bikes introduced in Mario Kart Wii and then it disappeared. We saw the kites and the submarines introduced in Mario Kart 7, and both those are coming back for this game in addition to anti-gravity. So, and tricks, which weren't a big part of Mario Kart Wii, but there you go. Carry on.
So, yeah, let's see. What else did I see? Well, I guess sticking with the Nintendo booth, Wind Waker HD looks just amazing. I watched a good chunk of someone play the first level, and I mean, you guys have seen the videos online. Like, that art style just pops in HD.
I get the point of them showing it. I get the point of them. I find it weird that people are actually demoing it. It's a 10-year-old port.
Yeah.
I saw some people were getting upset because people who knew the speedrun techniques were exploiting them in the demos.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, and like, oh, look, we've crashed the game, you know? Don't do that, because you ruin it for speedrunners, because... You know, what if they go back to Nintendo and say, yeah, they found these bugs, and they fixed them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see any of that, but that's interesting. That sucks. But it just, man, it looks so good. And, like, yeah, it's a, you know, re-release of a game that came out, 10 years ago or whatever, but it just looks so good.
And it's a great game.
Yeah, you know, it was a fantastic game.
They're not adding any of the dungeons, because apparently all of those dungeons were used in the Native Zelda games.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I assume the idea might have been used.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the only other thing I really saw in the Nintendo booth was Super Mario 3D World, which, not very impressed, to be honest. It came off, I mean, it's basically Mario 3D Land without the 3D tricks, and then with New Super Mario Bros. 4 player, which, I mean, it doesn't look bad, of course. It's Mario, it's, you know, their main Mario team, like, it looks nice in HD, but not as nice as a lot of the other stuff they showed, like Bayonetta and Mario Kart and whatever. I don't know, it didn't excite me at all. Like, the cat suit was kind of an interesting little thing, you know, being able to climb on walls and, like, flutter for a little bit. But it was just, I mean, it was silly, whatever, but I didn't get the sense that just adding four players like New Super Mario Brothers was really going to make it a better game.
Did you play it, or did you just...
No, I didn't get a chance to play it.
Okay, so I get to jump in again. I get to jump in here again. One, I will say this much, and I think we all kind of share the sentiment. Is seeing this revealed at the Nintendo Direct, I'm sure there was a sense of disappointment with this. This is probably not the game we all asked for as far as Mario's first major 3D adventure on the Wii U goes. And I will agree, it doesn't show anywhere near as well as a 3D Mark, like a proper, like a Galaxy does, or Sunshine, or 64 did.
Yeah, it's not a star collecting, it's a flagpole game.
Which is a term I earned this week. I didn't know that there was a star collecting and flagpole Mario game.
Oh, that's a great way to put it, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what people are calling it, is the star collectors versus the flagpoles. But it does not show well. And I honestly think this is a case with this game, because it's a very simple and clean style. It works and it looks nice. It looks passive. Like, it's not a bad looking game at all. It looks special.
Nice. Yeah.
It's just not a special looking game.
Exactly.
And I will say this, and we had this discussion with 3DN when it came out, is I remember being disappointed when that was revealed as well. Because, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here that I don't want in a 3D game. I don't, like, the run button makes no sense, and the 8-directional movement makes no sense. And then you play the game, and you're like, why did I ever doubt EAD Tokyo? This is a fantastic Mario game based on the few levels I played. Multiplayer is chaotic and hectic. It's more so than I would say the new Super Mario series, because it's 3D and the characters all exhibit their own space. And because it's 3D, you also don't have that kind of... With new Super Mario Brothers, you kind of have that bounding box with the screen where it's always going to follow the first player. The camera pans out a bit, but after a while, the people in the back will be left behind and get bubbled. Here, because it's 3D, they have something similar, but it follows the person who is closest to the end of the stage, which really sucks if you're trying to explore, especially with the cat suit, which goes more vertical, and the stages tend to go more horizontal, so that screwed me up a couple of times, but...
So the screen doesn't zoom out indefinitely? Like, it's possible for characters to just get left behind?
And if they get left behind, the same thing that happens in, I think, New Super Mario Bros. U happens here, in that they get bubbled, and they'll be brought to a person until somebody can pop their bubble.
Why? Well, here's something that I don't get, is why this seems like the perfect kind of game. Like, if you ever played one of the LEGO games, and what happens is when the players get separated, it splits the screen up. And
Toe Jam,
like,
and Earl, man. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, why doesn't that happen? Like, this Super Mario 3D World seems like the perfect opportunity for that to happen. And you can have that going on in four directions.
I honestly don't know. I can't speak to that. I get you, especially being that I assume that we can render this screen more than once. I assume they just don't want to split up the screen too much. They want it to be... Nintendo's very focused on, like, the single-screen experience, I guess. Mario Kart...
Bad Boy Online and then let everybody just go wherever they want. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, there's some odd decisions. There's always going to be odd decisions when it comes to Nintendo, as we'll get to in our E3 wrap-up. But I will say this much, because it was a very short time, so I got to play every demo on... Every stage on demo except for the boss battle, and one, I think the catsuit's a fun addition. It adds verticality without kind of breaking the game like Fine tends to do in 3D and 2D games. And lots of new enemies. And the best addition, which I find weird, is the clear pipes, because again, I thought that was something that seemed silly that they were highlighting it. But once you start doing it, and you kind of realize the potential there, because it could be used for puzzles and platform. Like, there's a segment at the end of one stage where there's a pipe that goes up four ways. And ideally, what you're supposed to do is have each character go through each one, because you have to unlock all four of them to unlock the exit. But what happens is, with one player, you can just kind of go through them and just time it, because there's also enemies around, so you want to avoid them. But you also have to collect these four things. So I think the clear pipes are going to introduce a lot of fun gameplay mechanics when they are put into the full game. I think it's going to be a blast. I can't wait to play it. But I do agree, it's not the game that people wanted, nor is it the game that I think it's going to sell systems, but I don't think it's the game that people are going to look to, because Nintendo, even after the show, still doesn't have that one marquee title that screams, this is why you want this system.
Right. I think they definitely had it in mind from the beginning to release, like, a 3D world and a land on 3DS and the Wii U.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing is the name's stupid.
Well, it's not in 3D, so, you know.
I mean, it is.
It is, but it's not, but it's not in the way we think of a 3D Mario, you know. Now we have three types of Mario games, and I don't even know how we... Like, how do we refer to the proper 3D Mario? I guess Star Collectors would be our term. We have 2D Flagpole, 3D Flagpole, and Star Collectors.
Yeah.
But I will say this much, and I find it funny, and I get why people are upset. But I do find it funny that people are asking for Galaxy over this, where Galaxy would have been more of a retread than 8. Because this is like the second game in this type of Mario game.
Right, I don't think people mean, like, Galaxy 3 per se.
People are asking for Galaxy 3, but I know people won't. Like I said this before, I said this for the past year when the people asked about it. If I could predict what the next 3D Mario game is, I didn't want that, because I wanted something brand new. But at the same time, it is kind of selfish to assume that every time this franchise shows up again, it's going to reinvent the wheel.
Well, there will definitely be a star collecting Mario on the Wii.
I just find it funny because it's the same thing that happened with Sonic Lost World, because where I found out that there is a real Sonic game and then there's fake Sonic games. and not that star collecting Mario and Dragapult Mario aren't real Mario games, but people see star collecting as the real version of the 3D Mario game. I just find this whole notion funny.
Speaking of Sonic Lost World, though, are you ready to move on, or?
I was going to say before you move, but just to wrap up my little thing with Nintendo World.
Ruining segues.
I'm sorry. I also got Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which pretty does sound like a nice refreshing beverage right about now. But
yeah.
It's Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Yep.
There you go. It looks nice.
More of it. Yeah, I mean, good game. More of it, you know. Again, not something that's necessarily going to rally
like
the fan base
fire.
Sell the system or like, you know, solid title. It's going to be good, but
I disagree in a sense and agree in a sense. I think none of these titles excite the core base because it's fake sequels to games that are great games. Don't get us wrong.
They also don't use the unique qualities of the system very much.
That was the thing that baffled me about this entire E3.
Especially Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong doesn't even use the gamepad.
Yeah, it's just off TV play.
That was what I think the only game that really used the gamepad in an interesting way is the one game they didn't really highlight, which Wii Party U. Mario, you used the Wiimote if you want to do multiplayer. Wonderful 101 used the WiiPad, the game. Wow. That's a controller. There's way too many controllers for this system.
Oh, yeah. That,
Mario Kart uses the Wii Wheel or the... you can honk the horn, you can see the map.
Is that what that big button is? It's a
horn?
Great. Great.
Smash Brothers, as far as I know, doesn't use it.
Nope.
So, yeah, they highlighted all these games, and it's like the gamepad served no purpose. And I guess we can segue into Sonic doesn't use it either, does it?
No. For Sonic, it's just a progress marker. You see how far you are in that level, where the checkpoints are, and that's about it. And when I say see, I mean there's like a jagged line and a little picture of Sonic's head that moves through it. But, yeah. Anyway, Sonic the Lost World, though, very impressed with that game. Like, to the point where I'm like, why didn't they come up with this concept the first time they were bringing Sonic into 3D? It's brilliant.
Because
like, moving
did.
Around.
They did.
Yeah, because it's actually Super Mario Galaxy 3, but Nintendo just
well,
said,
no,
hey.
This game's been floating around since the 90s, just they've never actually done it.
Oh, my God. Well, they're... dummies, because it was so like the whole concept for anyone who hasn't seen it is the levels are basically cylindrical, like, so you're running forward most of the time and then you move left and right and it goes like over on the cylinder, like it's there's flat planes but it basically forms a giant cylinder, and then there's parts of certain levels where there'll be more platforming and that's where it feels more like Galaxy, where you're kind of playing against gravity and stuff. And then there's parts of other levels where it kind of shifts to a 2D perspective, kind of how... What was the one where you turned into a werewolf?
Unleashed.
Unleashed, how it would... That game would switch between 2D and 3D. Like, it has a little bit of that. Thankfully, no werewolf crap or anything like that, at least that we could see so far. I'm sure they'll come up with something to throw us off later.
They have that their whips are returning. How the things from Sonic Colors, like the little power up that he gets.
So I was always wondering, like, why? Because the first three Sonics, speed is a factor, but it's all about platforming as well, right?
Yeah, there's a much higher focus on platforming. In fact, there are separate buttons for, you have to hold the right trigger to even sprint, otherwise he's kind of in jogging. I think it's a great move. Like, it adds a new dynamic to the gameplay, and the left trigger is roll into a ball.
The problem they had before was that because they didn't want to slow down the pace so much, they gave Sonic like that homing thing, because it's hard with Sonic's speed, it's hard to hit enemies in a 3D space. But with the,
he still has that.
Yeah, he does.
The main thing he relies on.
Right. But I love that there's platforming in it again, and the game like looks like, I'm so excited for that game over like anything else on the Wii U for this year.
And it's funny. In Sega's booth, they had Wii U and 3DSs back-to-back for Sonic Lost World. And the Wii U stations were all occupied when I got there, so I was watching. They had, like, a video hooked up to the 3DS, so it was displaying on the TV. Obviously, it's, you know, a 3DS outputting to an HD TV. It didn't look very good. And I was like, I don't care about that one. I'm just going to go check out the Wii U. So I waited in line. And, again, another game that just... thank God that we have a Nintendo console with HD visuals. Not that this is, I guess, you know, technically a Nintendo game, but it looks...
Well, it is. I mean, they are publishing it.
Right. I mean, it is an exclusive, but it's not like...
Well, I mean...
You know what I mean? It's still a third-party title. Like,
I love the irony in a game that was going to be exclusive to the Saturn is now exclusive on a Nintendo console.
Yeah.
Like, it took Nintendo to come out and say, here's some money, Sega, for them to do it.
Yeah. What else about it? So they had three levels on display. There was, like, a typical Green Hill Zone one. There's one that was kind of, I think it was called Desert Lost Ruins or something. That's exactly what it sounds like. And then there was a third one, which I thought was the most interesting, which took place in this, like, crazy, like, candy land, and... there's like ice cream cones and cakes, and the rails were like candy cane, and they're going for some kind of more wild things.
It's based off of, what is it, Sonic Extreme, which is a very 90s name.
Yeah.
But you could also tell that it's influenced greatly by the Mario Galaxy series.
Oh, definitely, definitely. There's a lot of that.
Maybe Sega needed Mario Galaxy to sort of get the concept to work.
It is
like, it definitely evokes Mario Galaxy, but, you know, the fact that, you know, Mario Galaxy is kind of, you're hopping between spheres, and this is very much, you're going down
some of them,
a level.
But yeah.
Right, but...
Well, I meant more in that sense, but I also meant the sense of, we don't care about the rules of platforming anymore, because Galaxy is all about, like, you know, we want to have a level on top of a dessert pad, and we're going to do that. We want to have a level in a toy box, we're going to do that. Why? Because we can.
Yeah, they are going that route, definitely. What else? Oh, so then, after I checked out the Wii U version and was very impressed, one of the 3DS stations was empty, so I figured, why not, I'll check it out. The whole perspective of the game, where you're running into this screen and it's like the cylindrical levels and stuff, looks awesome in 3D on the actual 3DS screen. Like, I obviously
really?
Was turned on. Yeah, it looks amazing. Like, to the point where, you know, I had started out being like looking over, you know, on its projection on the TV, like, that doesn't look that good, to going and being really impressed by the HD visuals on the Wii U, and then going back to the 3DS and playing it on an actual 3DS, and just, I mean, it works so well. It's one of those games that it, just the way it's designed, lends itself really well to a 3D perspective.
Because if it's good on a 3DS, I might buy it, and I don't have to be, like, kind of annoyed that we don't get it on PC.
Yeah. No, I played not as much of the 3DS one as I did the Wii U one, but, and apparently it's going to have different levels.
Interesting.
But it, just in terms of aesthetics, like, it looked really good.
Cool. Because usually, like, when you get, like, a console version, a handheld version, they gimp the handheld version proper.
Well, I mean, this, I don't, it's not GIMP, but it's DIMP. and they have been hit or miss with handheld Sonic games, so.
So what you're saying is wait for it to come out first.
Wait for reviews. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like anything that, you know, I played, this is all, it's all demos, it's all, you know, slice of the game, like, it's not, we can only get impressions, we're not, this isn't what the full game can be, like, will it hold up over time, et cetera, et cetera, but Sonic Lost World, pretty impressed for playing it.
Okay, which leads us to your friends, Sony.
Yeah, so Sony, I actually didn't play anything at the Sony booth. Well, because I'm going to see this stuff over the next several months at work. So, you know, I had only so much time. I wanted to see the stuff I wasn't going to see. But I did check out the system. They had it on display, along with the controller, the camera, the headset, which the headset, I don't know if you guys have seen pictures of. It's basically like it's an earbud, but only one ear. And then it has the microphone and the cord, like an iPhone headphones.
It's, I guess it's better than nothing.
No, definitely. It's just weird that they only put it in one ear. I don't know why they don't give you two. Anyway.
Well, you don't need one. You don't need two earphones for voice, do you?
No, you don't. It's just, I don't know. There's something about it. It was just weird to me. Not necessarily bad, but the PS4 system is a really nice looking machine. And I had seen the Xbox One before it, which I also think looks good, but the PS4 looks sleek. Like, the angles of it, like the way it's slanted or whatever, like it's really thin.
I really like the look of it, yeah.
Yeah, and I was kind of worried about, they have that one glossy panel on the top, but that looked really good in person.
Just like blue lines, like going across.
Oh yeah, there's a in between. Like the middle, like between the glossy panel where the mat starts, there's like a LED line that lights up.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah, it looked really good.
Do you know if the stand comes with it, or they have like a stand that sort of goes around the rim, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know, but based on,
I think it just floats,
historical precedent, like it, they're probably going to sell the stand.
That blue line is actually some sort of anti-gravity.
Yeah. I was going to say, Sony has been coy on what's in the box at launch, and for good reason. I know they confirmed that you're not getting the camera, so I assume it's a pretty basic bundle to keep the price down.
Yeah,
well, I'm not going to complain with that because I don't want a camera that I'm never going to use.
Yeah, and Trenton said that the camera's not essential to any of the experiences, but they're going to try to develop some things for it, but it's not their priority.
Yeah, I did get to use the camera. I'm going to talk in kind of vague terms because I'm not sure what was shown publicly or not, but very responsive. It's really good at tracking the controller.
Did you play that thing where all those guys go inside the controller and then?
Yeah, that was hilarious. If you press the face buttons, it lights up. Like if you press triangle, there's like a green light that comes down from the inside,
cool.
And they start dancing. it was really funny, and the little robots look really good. So the AR capabilities are pretty impressive. The touchpad feels really nice. And I think the fact that it clicks is something that's a bit understated.
Wait, what?
The touchpad clicks.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a button.
I knew that, but I still don't know what it's used for.
Well, I mean, it could be used for whatever. I forget what it was
for a button, man.
That demo, but it's just something else that the controller can do. Like, they're just building a controller that's kind of jack-of-all-trades, which is, you know, kind of cool. And it looks nice. It feels
like...
so good.
Menu button. Because the share and options button are way at the top, right?
Yes. So those, I mean, you have to reach over for those. So they're you'd be intentionally pressing those. The triggers feel nice. They're shaped like the Xbox ones now.
What else? The handles are longer and they're kind of textured, which feels really nice. The sticks are now concave, and they have a little bit more resistance. They're not as like floaty as the PS3 controller. The D-pad is also, it's kind of, you know, on the PS3 controller, the four parts, it's one plastic piece, but they're divided up. Or did I say PS4? On PS3. On PS4, it's kind of combined, so now it's more of a plus. I guess everyone's just accepting that the plus is the ideal D-pad, but it feels nice. It's really clicky. It's not squishy like the PS3 one. And then, yeah, I don't know. What did I see at the Sony booth?
You play any Vita games?
I did not. I played the Flower demo, but it's Flower. I mean, it looks good on Vita, but you played that 4 years ago. Yeah, I don't know. All the PS4 stuff was kind of behind closed doors, except for Knack.
Gotta open those doors, man.
Yeah. They did do a demo in the booth of Thief. I watched that very briefly. It's very reminiscent of Dishonored. And then it has a weapon, like a kind of like from Tomb Raider, a rope dart, where there's little parts of the level where there's ropes and you can throw it and build a thing to climb up. And that seemed interesting. What else? I guess back to the Microsoft booth. Oh, they had in the middle of the booth, kind of like the main thing, they were showing off that Project Spark, which the idea was kind of cool at the press conference, but, you know, it's really hard to get a sense of, like, what that game can do in, like, a really short, like, 5-minute chunk. And even watching it for 20 minutes while I was waiting in line for Rise, I mean, it seems like the possibilities are endless, but it's really interesting. Like, it's just, they're going to great pains to, like, make it really easy to design levels and stuff. I didn't really see any, like, mechanics design, so I'm not sure how that works, but apparently it's going to be on Windows 8 also, and you can use, like, a tablet or a controller or I think also Kinect, and you just kind of, you know, pick a terrain, like, start drawing stuff. Like, it's really smart in the way it combines things when you overlap in each other, and it's all working in, like, a 3D space. I think that game has a lot of potential. Like, it seems really cool. Kind of in the way Little Big Planet was for people, but 3D.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This looks like Microsoft's answer to Little Big Planet, which is cool.
And it's more... Well, I actually haven't played with a level designer in Little Big Planet, but from my impressions of it, it seems more freeform than Little Big Planet is. Like, you can really just...
It seems like, you know, the track designer in Modern Racing Races.
Yeah, it's really reminiscent of that applied to every part of the game world. From, you know, the walls, just everything. Like, anything that's in the game world, you can kind of just draw that way. And it just naturally connects how you would expect it to. So I think that's definitely one to watch. It's interesting. They had a really nice car out for Forza. Apparently it's one of two of them in the world, and they had it at the booth, and I took lots of pictures, and it was very pretty. I also played Splinter Cell Blacklist, which interestingly they said was the full game, even though they had a level on demo, but they didn't even build a separate E3 demo. It's just the game.
Which makes sense. The game's out in, what, 2 months, so it should be done with soon, if not now.
It's... Martin's not here. He'd be happy. It feels slower than Conviction. It's still very Conviction-y in the way it controls. You know, it has the ghost thing where the enemies last see you. There's a lot of action options.
I love Conviction.
Options.
That game's good.
Oh, Conviction is my favorite Splinter Cell.
Yeah, I love that game.
Stealth, and I love action. So, but I know Martin, for example, feels the opposite. He likes the slower pace of the older game. And this, Blacklist, feels like it falls in between. Like, Sam moves a little slower. You have to be a little bit more methodical. It's harder to just, you know, go out in guns blazing and stuff. But it does carry over a lot of the mechanics from Conviction that kind of leave it. I don't know. Actually, than the older Splinter Cell game, but more aligned with Cell's than Conviction was. What else did I see? Oh, Destiny. Duh. So waiting 2 hours to watch that I had already seen. Still, you know, it was still really impressive. Like, when he started out, he gave us a little thing where, so you drop into the level, and instead of, like, going off down the demo right away, he just kind of stopped. He's like, okay, I'm going to show you guys something just something different. Thanks for coming and seeing it in person, like, blah, 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 blah. And he turns around, and there's this huge, 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 massive area, and the level is, like, Old Russia or whatever. And he says, all of that space that you see, and you're sitting on top of, like, a giant hill, he's like, all of that space you see, you can go there. You can go to all that space. That's all open. Now, for this demo, there was nothing in that space. There's no enemy. Like, presumably in the final game, like, you know, this demo was built to show a specific thing, and in the actual game, there would be stuff to do there. But, yeah, he was saying that's all open space you could go to. Like, if you were playing this game and you dropped into Old Russia and you didn't want to go do this mission right away, you just want to turn around and run around, you can do that. And he threw a grenade, like, as far as he could just to illustrate that there's no invisible walls or anything. Like, if you wanted
fucking
to, you could
just... Why is this game not on PC, Bungie? We need to fix that.
Or Destiny.
Yeah, it's your destiny to buy a system.
It looks good. Like, I threw up a preview in Nerds on the Rocks, and I said this in there, too. It looks good, but it looks good in the way that Halo 3 looks good for the Xbox 360. Where it wasn't like Rise or Metal Gear Solid 5, where I was just like, holy crap, next gen, oh my god. It was like, yeah, that looks like a really, 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 really good 360 game. Or PS3
well,
game.
Well, I guess at this point, it's like, that's kind of what you need to expect for most games. And Bungie have never been a company about graphics anyway.
Right. So I mean,
the lighting, I have to say, is incredible when they go into the dark bit and the ghost lights it all up.
Yeah, the lighting is one of the parts where, you know, you can, you're looking closely. You know, there's various things where if you're looking closely, you can tell it's a next-gen game, but it doesn't scream it in the way other games does. But, I mean, it looks good, and obviously, you know, the art direction's phenomenal. Like, that's going to make it stand out a lot more than just, you know, poly count or whatever. But,
How's that game going to be on, like, this gen, or what are we calling this now, last generation console?
Current gen?
Current gen until November or whenever the systems come out, but I don't know.
I think it'll be fine. Probably scaled down a bit, but
yeah. I mean, I think somebody asked about that, and then what they said was they want the gameplay experience to be exactly the same on all four platforms. So
you're gonna have to either reduce graphics by a lot or make loading times. One of the two.
They would probably just down the graphics.
Yeah, they're gonna. They said it's gonna look a lot better on the next gen ones, but in terms of the way it connects with other players, the size of the levels, all of that stuff is gonna be. They're shooting to have all that the same across all four platforms.
Needs to be five platforms. Five, so I don't have to buy a PS4 even.
Right, and this is a 10-year experience, so...
I mean, that's part of the... Just to, like, play a little devil's advocate a little bit, that's part of the problem, right? It wouldn't... If they added PC, it wouldn't be five platforms, it'd be more like 1,000. Because there's many configurations of PC that you need to optimize for.
I'm sure it will come eventually.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, once they have it out and shipped, and they
buy,
can,
like 10-year experience, I don't want Bungie to go, all right, so we're 5 years into it, now have your PC version.
I mean, remember, too, this is a studio that's used to working on one platform, so even to branch out to four, adding a lot of workload, on top of creating this humongous world and mythology.
Well, I don't care. Bungie's the best company that makes video games, if you ask me, so they can do it.
Speaking of, and this is a minor tangent, I just find it funny, is that Insomniac announced an exclusive game for the Xbox One, and like, nobody cared.
The thing is, the reason why nobody cares about Insomniac, right, is because they already showed us a goofy, over-the-top, cartoony game, and that got focus tested to death. And they're doing it again. We don't know whether Sunset Overdrive will suffer the same fate. That's why nobody cares.
Yeah, plus the trailer was CG, right? There was no gameplay, so it's kind of hard to tell what it was. Like,
it's up there with Hotline Miami for awesome names. Sunshine Overdrive?
Sunset. Which sounds like a racing game.
Yeah.
Yeah, like an arcade racer, right?
Yeah.
And not only that, it sort of harkens back to Overstrike. It's similar to Overstrike, so, you know.
I was just finding it, because he mentioned like that it used to be working on, and I'm like, Insomniac was one of Sony's premier developers, and they announced an exclusive game, and like, everybody's like, okay, we'll see if it's the same game by the end of it.
Insomniac used to be one of Sony's premier developers, and then the PS3 happened.
Okay, just because it rounded out, I have a minute. Yes, you also saw Assassin's Creed 4.
I did. They were showing the multiplayer.
Did the demos actually work this time?
Yeah, but there's nothing really that's... Oh, I was telling Earl, like, they were showing how... I mean, the multiplayer is solid. I don't know if you guys have played Assassin's Creed multiplayer. It's actually quite good, but it's, you know, it's not any different. It's a pirate skin on what exists already. I mean, they're toying with some things. They're going to add new modes. They're adding something called the Game Lab where, I mean, it's basically like you can just go tweak all the gameplay parameters that you want.
The thing that first-person shooters have been doing for God knows how many years.
Yeah, since, you know, I've been messing with since Halo 1, yeah. And there's all, they were showing this, Earl was joking, it's like a third-person shooter, but there was like a guns-only mode. so you couldn't use blades to kill people, you had to shoot them. And of course, it's like 18th century, so like you get one shot and you have to run away and reload. It's a little interesting, but I mean, it's more of the same. Like, it wasn't exciting, you know, it'll be fun, I'm sure, whatever. Going back to Destiny real quick, though, one thing I did want to point out, and I believe this was in the stage demo, but there was a point where at the end they come out of the structure that they're in, and it had been two players, and then they run into another one of their friends just kind of seamlessly. Then they're kind of just going on about this gun that shoots wolves or something that their friend found. And all of a sudden there's this like explosion in the sky, and this alien ship comes in and drops this gargantuan monster thing. And then this little thing pops up on the screen. It's like public event. It's like an instance in an MMO. And all of a sudden, like, there's a whole nother squad of guardians there that just got brought in from wherever they were. And so now there's 7 players, of course, because it's Bungie, and they love 7. So they have 7 players taking on this huge boss-like thing and using all their different powers, which, by the way, I think that's one thing that's going to... Because the gunplay is very resemblant of Halo, but they use iron sights a little more. Obviously, there's a loot element, and even the weapons have like upgrade trees and stuff. But as far as the way it looks and feels, or, you know, the way it looked to feel to me, since I didn't get to actually play it, it definitely, you can tell that these are the creators of Halo. But you have these kind of magical abilities you can equip. So the one that the main demo guy had was kind of like a Hadouken, where he'd shoot this little ball of magic, and it seems to be pretty powerful, and then you have to wait for it to recharge. So that seems like it'll add a cool element to the game.
Okay. And I guess you saw Battlefield 4 as well, right?
Yeah, and it looked like Battlefield 3. I guess it looks better.
Is it single
player
or multiplayer that you're looking at?
Multiplayer.
Did they showcase single player at all?
They did in the CCC conference. But
yeah, in the conference they did. It might have been on the show floor. Battlefield had a whole corner of EA's booth. and they were all running on PC. I don't think I saw any consoles. Yeah, I mean, it looked like Battlefield 3, which was also a really good-looking game 2 years ago. I mean, whatever, military shooter X.
We'd take down skyscrapers.
Yeah.
That didn't really impress me. I was like, okay, cool, but it looks like Battlefield 3, and I'm sick of military shooters.
Yeah, that's kind of my perspective, too. Like, if you really like Battlefield, I'm sure you're going to love it. It looks great. I'm not dogging on it at all, but it's just,
me personally, I'm like pretty tired of these military shooters. So,
yeah.
What else? Saw Need for Speed Rivals, which looked like Most Wanted but prettier. They kind of just had all the stations racing together, so I didn't even get to see the all driver, wherever they're calling it, that you can seamlessly interact with other people. Like, there's no menus for multiplayer, single player, which is the new feature or whatever.
Well, you sold me on Most Wanted but prettier, so I'm down for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Criterion, but
yeah,
you can't get a Criterion game every year, unfortunately.
Yeah. Hopefully Criterion's working on a pod racing game. what else did they have there? They had Titanfall, but it was a huge line like Destiny's, and this time I had the sense to ask if it was playable, and it was not, so I didn't bother. And that was kind of near the end of the day where I was kind of picking and choosing what to do, and I didn't want to waste the rest of it waiting in line for another live demo. That was the only thing I didn't really get to see that I really wanted to. what else was there? They had World of Tanks running on 360. Looked pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, I did get to try out the NVIDIA Project Shield.
Ooh, Project
that
Shield.
It's going to tank so hard. It's just an awful piece of hardware.
Is it, like, it's really just bad to hold?
Yes. It feels like the original Xbox controller. You remember that behemoth?
Yeah.
It feels like that. It has the 360's D-pad. I mean, it's running Android games, which aren't used to having a controller. So, like, I couldn't invert the controls for the zombie game they had. Which, I mean, it looked good. The screen was nice. But, I mean, it was an Android game, whatever. They also had some stitches.
Does the screen actually sort of tilt upwards? Because I can't. Like, what's the maximum angle, would you guess, at the screen?
Because
if it's 90 degrees, you can fuck off. I'm not touching that thing with a
barge. It's the same as the 3D, how you would normally hold a 3DS. So.
Oh, that's alright, then. That's fine.
The 3DS goes a little further, but. Yeah, that I don't think will be an issue. I think it's just a piece of crap. Piece of hardware is the bigger issue, and with what games are you going to run on it? The same ones you're playing on your phone.
Yeah.
They did have the a station set up for PC streaming, so I played a little bit of Arkham City on it. And there's just, first of all, the PC it was streaming from was right next to it, so who knows how it's going to work in the real world, right? Second of all, there's still just the slightest bit of lag. Like, it wasn't lag as much as it couldn't hold the frame rate that the PC had.
It's like, just input lag.
It was choppier. Like, it was responsive. It was just, if whatever was running at 60 frames per second on the PC, because they also had the PC monitor right there, on the Shield, it looked like it was 30, for example. And the buttons don't feel really good. They're kind of depressed into the unit, so they're a little squishy. And like I said, the handles are humongous. It feels like the original Xbox controller, so it's really awkward. It's kind of heavy. It's just, there's going to be absolutely no market for this thing. It's going to tank.
Oh, well, NVIDIA's got loads of money.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you waste it.
No, it doesn't, but if they don't have the foresight, then that's their problem, isn't it?
Well, maybe they can get into the PS Vita to market. Anything else?
But, I think that about does it for what I saw. Yeah.
And now I'm at a
crossroads. I wanted to see Arkham Origins Blackgate, which I forgot about until after I left. So I didn't get to see that. But.
Yeah, I was going to say, now I'm at a crossroad, because we're already like an hour and a half in. I don't know if we want to continue this week or like do it next week. What do you folks think?
We can do it next week.
Imagine we'll get too much news this week, so we can do
I feel like the news is going to be really dry coming out of E3.
It would just be more reasons to rank on Xbox One, so and we can cover that.
Wait, oh yeah. Before
I'm
we go,
a whole podcast of ranking on Xbox One.
We do need to mention the Sony press conference, because this is our first podcast.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Wow.
I did say that all they needed to do is just not do what Microsoft had been pulling and...
Let's just all make sounds for the next 20 minutes.
I've never seen a company so explicitly target the other company just...
It was explosive. It was amazing.
Like, wow, Sony, bravo. Like,
have you seen how many views the video they have? They made about a 2-minute video to say how you share games on PS4.
Have you
seen how many views that video has? It has 13 million views in a few days.
That was better than my wildest dreams. It was insane. Like, I expected... Everybody expected...
Wow. Other than, revealing that they were going to charge for PS Plus... Which, honestly, like, Xbox Live has been ahead of PSN, and I think the fact that they make money off of it and can reinvest those resources is a huge part of that, so...
Well, the way I thought about it was, it's kind of crummy, but if I'd have bought a PS4, I would have signed up for PlayStation Plus anyway, so...
Yeah, and they're giving you a free game right off the bat with Drive Club for PS4.
So they made all these punches, they're like... Yeah, indie games, we're going to have the Gaikai stuff. And
that's
then
the thing,
like,
is they're like...
No DRM.
Microsoft showed indie games, and then they had a company, then they showed Minecraft, which is made by a company that now has more money than some AAA developers. And Sony had Octodad on stage.
Yeah. So they did all this stuff, and you're like, it cannot get any better, right? And then they go, hey, guess what? The price, $399. Holy shit. Just one E3 right there. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
The price was a great closer.
Yeah, I said last week we weren't going to do the whole E3, because it's very hard. I think the notion of winning E3 is stupid. But Sony told you won E3.
And the thing is didn't have as many games or exclusives as Microsoft did, but they had the PR. That's all they needed.
Final Fantasy 15 was shown there, and that got me really... It's not exclusive, but it was shown there, so...
Time out. We're going to wrap. We can talk about this off later. So I want to thank Jason, Phil, Daniel. This has been Dueled in episode 114.